Good afternoon, church. We've gone into the afternoon. We're going to share God's word, Song of Songs, and we are starting at chapter 8. If you've been following the daily reading plan, the Old Testament one, you may have already done this on Friday, and you might have read the whole of the song, which is meant to be read as a whole. So if you get a chance later and haven't, then please take a little look. So we're starting at chapter 8, and we're going verses 1 to 7. If only you were to me like a brother who was nursed at my mother's breasts, then I found you outside, I would kiss you, and no one would despise me. I would lead you and bring you to my mother's house, she who has taught me. I would give you spiced wine to drink, the nectar of my pomegranates. His left arm is under my head, and his right arm embraces me. Daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you, do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires. Who is this coming up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? Under the apple tree I roused you. There your mother conceived you. There she who was in labor gave birth. Place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death, its jealousy unyielding as the grave. It burns like blazing fire, like a mighty flame. Many waters cannot quench it. Rivers cannot sweep over it. If only one were to give all the wealth of one's house for love, it would be utterly scorned. Amen. Now, when you all came in after a week apart, because I'm not sure if many of you seen each other when you first come in, when you come in, you're greeted by an amazing welcome team, aren't you? They shake your hands, they may give you a hug, or you see people, you give them hugs. And it's good to have that connection, is it? You know, when you go to an airport or a train station, or say your loved ones or friends have been away on holiday or they've been sick, and you come back together, you just want to give them an embrace, don't you? You just want to welcome them. And that's what it's like coming into church, isn't it? We're a family of God and we want to connect and share that love together. You see, God's love is for all of us, and it's one. God's love for all of us is within us, but love itself, human love, is one of the most strongest and intense of emotions that we could feel. Would you agree? It can drive us to do some really crazy things, can't it, love? When you have a newborn baby in this world, when they come into the world, it might be different from previous. So you may know of people that have had babies, if you've not had them yourself. They place quite soon after birth onto the mother's chest. So it's skin-to-skin contact. And that helps to settle the baby, but it also stimulates the neurons in the baby's brain and in the mother's brain as well, and it helps the bonding and attachment process. So close and loving relationships from birth actually grows babies' brains. Did you know that? It grows their brains. My sister has twin boys, and when they were born, they were quite sick. One of them was quite sick, and one was in the neonatal intensive care unit, and one of them was on the ward. But both babies' stats started to decline. So it wasn't just the sick twin, it was the other one as well that was healthy. And they said it was because they were separated. So when they were placed in the same crib, skin to skin, their stats improved. And the sicker twin got better very quickly. So it just shows we're wired for connection, aren't we? We're all wired for that connection. And that's the power of love, isn't it? It can do amazing things. Love is intense and it's all-consuming. And it comes from within, an inner force, and it takes our breath away. It's also a mystery, isn't it? Because if we were asked to explain love, it would take a lot longer than this service. But the Song of Songs that we've just read depicts the type of passion that God has for a connection with his people. You see, God is the God of love, and love is God-given. And in 1 John 4:19, it says, "We love because God first loved us." Now, there are different types of love. Do you love your friend like you love your husband or wife? Do you love your, I want to say milkman, but that might be a different analogy. But do you love the person in the supermarket Do you love the person in the supermarket the same as your spouse? It's going to be a no, isn't it? Because there are different types of love, okay? In the Greek language, there are four types of love. Agape, which you probably will have heard of before, and it's the highest form of love, the bond of love God has for humanity and humanity has for us, for God. The love is important in the process of forgiveness. So Jesus coming to earth, that was agape love. It's unconditional. It seeks after the best for us. It's the purest love we can experience, okay? God loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us. And we all know that verse in John 3:16, don't we? That Jesus came, God gave his son for each and every one of us so that we would have everlasting life. As we abide in Jesus, we remain in the power of God's love forever together. There's also philia. That's an affectionate love that you would have with a friend. So it's a selfless, sacrificial love that puts the other person's needs before themselves. It's the love that wants the best for the person. It can also be the love that a husband and wife share together after a long-standing marriage. You know, when the eros cools. Philia is the brotherly bond that is established in friendship through fellowship and shared values. Then we have storge, which is familial love. So those who are parents, or if you've got them in your family, the maternal and paternal instinct. And it's really deep-rooted, isn't it, that instinct when you've got those children there. It creates the same sort of bond that a newborn on skin-to-skin would have. It allows for connection and bonding and attachment. Eros is the passionate, intimate, sensual, physical expression of love between a husband and wife. It's characterized by marital desire for their spouse and the enjoyment of making love. Physical attraction can be intense and immediate. Head over heels in love, are you familiar with that expression? Yeah? God created sex and intimacy. And they are healthy, and they are holy, and they are good within the framework of marriage and commitment. Now, we distinguish the different love types to demonstrate the differences, that we love our spouses different to how we love our friends, and how we show and receive love as well. So understanding the different types can help us to improve our relationships with family and friends and spouses. Now, I don't know if your memory is good, but can you remember back 11 years ago to 2012 when it was the late Queen Elizabeth's Diamond Jubilee and a song was commissioned by Gary Barlow and Andrew Lloyd Webber, and the song was called Sing, and it had, if you remember, it had different people from different parts of the world involved, and then they put this beautiful worship, this song together. Some of the lyrics of that song are, some words cannot be spoken, only sung. So hear a thousand voices shouting love. There's a place, there's a time in this life when you sing what you are feeling. Find your feet, stand your ground. Don't you see right now the world is listening to what we say? And if you came for coffee, you may have heard it playing in the background. But I don't know about you, but I can forget words sometimes. I can forget the names of my dearest and nearest as well these days. But if you've got words to music, sometimes it's easier to remember, isn't it? And I know I can remember parts of a song. I may not remember the whole song, but I get parts of the song. But as Gary Barlow said, words resonate more deeply when they are sung. And some words can't be spoken, they can only be sung. Which brings us back to our Song of Songs that we're looking at in Scripture. It's a wedding song, and it's an honouring marriage song. The most explicit statements on sex in the Bible can be found in this book. The purity and sacredness of love represented in the song are greatly needed in our day, where there are lots of distorted attitudes about love and marriage. God created intimacy for enjoyment, mutual pleasure, and creating babies and families. They are holy and good when enjoyed in marriage. A husband and wife honour God when they love and enjoy each other. Now, the Song of Songs is also known as the Song of Solomon. So it's a collection of poems. It's love poetry. And it's meant to be sung as a whole. and not isolated. It's referenced as the most amazing song. So that's got significance because it's like the Holy of Holies. It's really important. It's the song that beats every other song, okay? And they're saying it was by King Solomon. So initially, it indicates a relationship between a bride-to-be and a groom-to-be. And they're sharing their story of romance, their desire for each other, their physical attraction, and the celebration of commitment to one another once married. Now, I don't know about you if you've ever really looked in depth at the Song of Songs, but it's quite a challenging book to look at and interpret. There are themes and symbols that, you know, you've got to get your head around. But I think it also, if this is the Song of Songs, it goes higher and deeper than just merely a literal husband and wife relationship. It extends to our unity with God. Now, there's been a lot of debate, as there sometimes is, over the meaning of this song. Some say it's a literal song about married love and sexual intimacy between a husband and wife. Some say it's an allegory of God's love for Israel and the church, with the woman representing Israel and the groom representing God. Now, in the NIV version, you will see you've got friends, she and he. So there's three people in this Song of Songs, and the narrative goes through. But in reality, it's both. It's an historical story with two layers of meaning, like a parable that Jesus would tell. When he told a parable, those that got it, and those that didn't, didn't it. You would have to have that revelation and that connection with Jesus to understand it. So on one level, we learn about marriage and the enjoyment of sex in the context of Christian marriage. And on another level, we see God's overwhelming love for his people and how it points forwards to Jesus as the bridegroom king returning for his bride, the church, the collective church. In Revelation 19, 7 to 8, it says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give him the glory, for the wedding lamb has come and his bride is ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given for her to wear." Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. So the bride being the collective church with a capital C. The inspired Song of Songs is regarded as a work of art. It is a melody sung from the heart of Jesus for his longing bride, the church. The song is full of symbols, as you may have looked and read. Lilies, pomegranates, gazelles. There's Edenic references, so references to the Garden of Eden and creation. Subtle art forms, poetry, nuances that we in our current world don't quite understand. And that's because some of the symbols are difficult to translate to our modern day today. Solomon is known for his great wisdom, and he is listed as the author of the book, although there are other views that he only references Solomon because it's of the wisdom genre and love poetry of the day. It's said Solomon is the bridegroom in the song, so the Hebit would be the bridegroom, waiting patiently for his bride and the marriage. However, you husbands here have one wife, yes? Solomon, and I struggle to understand, had 700 wives and 300 concubines. But we are blessed in this society with one husband. And that's a blessing, isn't it, guys? One blessing. One wife. Can you imagine having 700 wives? I must add, a rider, that was the context of the day. Kings used to have lots of wives. You know, do the math. 700, 365 days a year. That's a lot of wives, isn't it? Seriously. Can you imagine? They must have been very good at listening, I think, the kings. Do you? So be prepared as we share and explore the meaning and relevance of this beautiful song together, to hear God's lyrics sung over us as an individual, as singles, as married couples, as a whole church family. And then maybe when you get home, you can look at the whole Song of Songs in its entirety and be pursued. God is pursuing you. He's never leaving you. He's loving you. He doesn't forsake you, but he strengthens you with a deep love to share. In chapter 8, verses 6 to 7, there is the power of love there. It says, place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death. Its jealousy unyielding as the grave. It burns like blazing fire, like a mighty flame. Many waters cannot quench love. Rivers cannot sweep it away. If one were to give all the wealth of one's house for love, it would be utterly scorned. See, marriage is the beautiful design of the Almighty, a great mystery of Jesus and his church, but also human love in a marriage is the closest thing you would get to the union of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on earth. The covenant of Christian marriage is based on the foundations of commitment, of deep love, of eros, and other types of love. It's often been said love is a very powerful thing. Would you agree? Yes? People do crazy things for love, don't they? In some cultures, public displays of affection are acceptable, and in others, they're not. And it could even land you in prison. Now, when we started this verse, it said, if only you were to me like a brother, she would kiss you. That means it was acceptable for public displays of affection with family members. But a husband and wife, no. With committed couples, no. It was only family. So what we're finding here is that the wife wanted the desire of her husband and wanted to show that and express that love. The beginning of chapter 8 shows there's an intense longing of the newlyweds to show affection towards each other. We also see that the wife wanted to take her husband home to see her mum. Now, those of you who are married, I'm sure at some point you took your wife to meet your parents. Yes? It probably wasn't your first date, though, was it? It was further down the line when you were committed and you knew where the relationship was going. But the daughter wanted to take her husband home to show the mum, look, I have learnt what you have taught me. I've taken and listened to your advice, and I want to show you this is my husband. The mother would have shown what a lasting marriage would have looked like, what keeping a relationship would be like. There's advice here as well. So it's not just for marrieds. For those that are not married or on the journey to growing up and into different things, it says here there is advice for all not to awaken the love or arouse love until so it so desires in verse 4. Meaning, don't try and rush the process of love, being loved and giving love in a relationship before establishing a commitment for the long haul. You see, physical attraction can be very strong and overwhelming, can't it? And alongside those feelings, we sometimes need to take a pause. How often do we hear, I'm head over heels in love with ... which can be made more based on lust than it can love and commitment. When a person would often say that, it means they're attracted to someone, that they're looking superficially at the person, the exterior, you know. Lust becomes confused with the reality of love. And for those of you here that are very savvy with your mobile phone apps and everything, there's dating apps, isn't there? I mean, for, you know, I have no clue what that is about, and I wouldn't even know where to start, you know. I'm face-to-face. But, you know, dating apps, you swipe left for one thing, swipe left for another. One means you like them, one means you don't. I don't know which one's which, left or right, but you know the thing. They're the apps. That's what our children and our young people are having to go through these days, okay? Society today has a culture that appears to promote promiscuity, a culture that's like, immediate, a don't wait culture, that you need a boyfriend or a girlfriend to be somebody. People often rush to establish a romantic relationship without the commitment needed to outlast the feelings. Because we all know marriage isn't about feelings, don't we? We all know friendships aren't about feelings in the end. Yes, they are at the beginning, but actually it's the commitment long term. Relationships are often seen through a lens of what is viewed and what is popular in culture. For example, Love Island on TV. I don't watch it, but I know it's there. These relationships are temporal and very rarely authentic. Where is the voice and reason of God and God's best for these young people in those sort of programs? It's not God's ideal. See, God's standard is so high that we can't actually comprehend how high it is, but it's for our good and for our best. Solomon emphasizes that love must be permanent and with complete trust for one another. Without trust and permanency, a marriage cannot stand. For those who have been to friends' weddings, for those who are married, you probably hear in the vows that they say, the couple say to each other, that I will be forsaking all others from this moment on, that I will remain true to you as to each other as long as they both shall live. Obviously, the rider is in an abusive marriage. We wouldn't be saying you stay together because that's not God's ideal, is it? God's intention for husbands and wives is to honour each other. In 1 Corinthians 13, we have the model. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. And it keeps no record of wrongs. It doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, and always hopes, always perseveres, and love never fails. Genuine love in a good marriage between a husband and wife is a long-haul journey, isn't it? Two becoming one flesh, till death us do part commitment. Adam referred to Eve right back at the beginning of creation as bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. There is strength, intimacy, and exclusiveness in marriage and the marriage bed. The power of married love is likened in verse 6 to 7 as a seal being placed over your heart. For love is stronger than death. Its jealousy unyielding as the grave. It burns like a blazing fire. It's like a mighty flame. Many waters cannot quench love. Rivers cannot wash it away. If one were to give everything they owned, it would be utterly scorned, because love is priceless, isn't it? It's a gift from God. God loves us so much that he has placed a seal on every single one of our hearts. It's a pledge guaranteeing us a future, an eternal future of love with him. We find that in 2 Corinthians 1, 22. A seal is something that is used to join two things together, two people together, to prevent them coming apart and prevent anything passing in between them. So if they're together, they're together. They're one. Two people, one unit. The covenant marriage, the covenant commitment of marriage, has love as its strength. It's as strong as death. It cannot be killed by time or disaster, and it cannot be bought for any price because it is freely given. Love is priceless. Love is to be accepted as a gift from God and then enjoyed and shared within the guideline God provides. And if that's within marriage as a husband and wife, or if that's with friends, it's with friends. Love doesn't fade or diminish when a loved one passes, does it? We keep that love in our heart forever. It remains strong. The love of a spouse is a gift, which is a reflection of the perfect love that comes from God himself. If you were here last week, you would have known that Stu was talking about God being at work in our work. Well, God is also at work in our marriages and our relationships. And we must too work at those marriages and our relationships, our friendships, praying over them, with them, investing time, making sure that we give honour that is due to them. Now, those that have been invited to a wedding recently or will be going to a wedding, the average cost of a UK wedding for one day is between £15,000 and £20,000, and that's conservative. It's huge, isn't it? That amount of money on one day. Are we crazy or what? What is going on? So the wedding is one day, but the marriage is long haul, isn't it? It goes on. It's permanent, as in on this earth. If we become blasé about marriages, or friendships, thinking it will take care of itself, it really won't. Romance keeps a marriage interesting, But commitment keeps romance from dwindling away. The decision to commit yourself to your spouse happens on the wedding day, but the decision of choosing your spouse is a daily commitment. I choose you every day, forsaking all others, from that day going forwards till death do part. So let us continue to cultivate safe, strong and loving intimate marriages as God intended, loving each other as Jesus loves the church. Now, you may be sat here thinking, this is a sermon on marriage. This isn't for me because I'm not married. The gift of singleness is something to be celebrated as a calling from God. It is a high calling, whether that is a choice or it is not a choice. In church family, we encourage patience, dependence on God, and flourishing living the day to day. The retaining of purity for those called to singleness. There is joy both in the gift of singleness and the gift of marriage. It's just different, but both are high callings. Both have been placed in God's family. He places so many of us in God's family, doesn't he? All different. Now, rope has strands, lots of strands, but I've been told, and it says in the Bible, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. Similarly, a Christian marriage has three persons, husband, wife, and Jesus. And there is always and forever love. There is a layered understanding in this scripture in that the bride being referenced references the collective church, so the wider church, all the churches together being the collective church. And they're getting ready and being prepared. It's a bit like the 14 bridesmaids that had oil in their lamp and they went out to meet the bridegroom. Seven had a reserve of oil, seven didn't. So when the time came, there were only seven bridesmaids that were ready and prepared and went. This scripture is looking forward to Jesus coming again to his second return and final, watching and waiting for the bridegroom King Jesus to return so that a new heaven and a new earth will come into being. Song of Songs demonstrates that we are all, every one of us here and online, all Christians are the collective bride, that we are being prepared for the new earth and new heaven, that our commitment to Jesus is long haul. I'm sure we've all had jobs and you've got a job profile and a job list when you go for a job. And you've got all the things on there that your job, you know, you're applying for this job and this tells you what you're going to do. And then in little writing at the bottom, it says, this list is not exhaustive. Which means they can give you whatever they want to give you. But Jesus' love for us is not exhaustive. It does not run out. God's commitment to us is infinite. It's eternal foreverness in togetherness. It's powerfully seen in the lavish, deep, and intimate love of Jesus, of how God sent his Son to rescue each and every one of us from the things that we do wrong, from the thoughts and the actions, to show us what forgiveness is and what true love is. There is nothing that God will not do for those he loves. It's a jealous love, yeah? A good jealous, if there's a good jealous, for those who love him and seek him every day, growing in righteousness and reverence of him. Song of Songs points us towards Jesus' return when he comes and takes all of his bride to be with him. We're all encouraged to cultivate love for those around us in the everyday spaces and places we are found. And it will look different for each of us. It will look different if you go to work, if you're in the community, if you do voluntary work, if you're in the home, if you're in the family, caring for family. It will look different for every one of us. But we have a mission should you choose to accept it. And that mission is to accept God's undeserved favour towards us, to share his love and the song that is being sung over us. Paul reminds us in Ephesians 3, 17 to 19, that Christ will dwell in our hearts through faith. Paul says, I pray that you, all of us, being rooted and established in love, may have the power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. So when you're exhausted and you come to the end of your tether, be that in a friendship, in a marriage, in a relationship. God fills us over and over again to be giving out that love. We at KBC here are a safe place to grow in love towards our spouses, in our marriages, in walking out in singleness, in loving each other as church family, and in reaching out to others who do not yet know Jesus. Even if we're not married, we still have a responsibility to support those who are married. And those of us who are married still have a responsibility to support those who are not yet married, or may not want to be married, or God has said, this is not for you. We're a family, and we have that support mechanism in place. There is a new song being sung over this faith family. The Lord is our strength and song. He is the source and light of all we are. We sang earlier in our worship, it was beautiful, wasn't it? Jesus, be the center, be my light, be my source. There's a deep communion with Jesus himself for every believer and every seeker. And the power of love, God's love, never disappoints, does it? God's love never disappoints. He's the same today, he'll be the same tomorrow, and will be always and forever, eternally, the same. He loves every one of us with a passion. He pursues every one of us. He has the best for every one of us. We are to come and receive his best. Maybe we're living the best, but he's always got more and more to give us. So be refreshed, be revitalized, and reinvigorated by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. So as the worship